In the Battle of the Titans in Turin, it was Barca who came out on top.
And Messi crowns it with a penalty goal. Szczesny went the wrong way. Messi helps it into the corner, and Barcelona have a 2-0 lead.
Meanwhile, a Marcus Rashford-inspired Manchester United made light work of Leipzig.
And Rashford with a chance for the hat-trick, and he's taken it! Marcus Rashford at the treble for United.
And Paris win in Istanbul to get their challenge back on track.
Moise Kean on the turn! Beautiful finish! It's Moise Kean's night in Istanbul!
There were also wins for Sevilla, Chelsea and Dortmund on what was another cracking night of Champions League football. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and we're going to be looking back on a dramatic night of match day two action. Tonight I'm joined by commentators Richard Connolly and Mark Scott, and we have European football expert Chris Parrott. Chris, to you first. Match day two picking up where we did in the opening round of games.
Yeah, and it's shaping up very nicely. I just wonder whether this was the night when Barcelona caught fire under Ronald Koeman. Some response to losing El Clasico. They were magnificent. And look, Marcus Rashford, sensational. Just the fifth player to score a Champions League hat-trick, having started the match on the bench. He only came on shortly after the hour mark. That's pretty impressive from him and from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and his team.
It's actually Ole Gunnar Solskjaer-esque.
Yes, it is.
Off the bench and score that many goals. Okay, we do have a tradition on this show of doing three-word match reports. Richard Connolly, your summary of Juventus versus Barcelona, please.
Well, I would just say Catalan clouds lifting, Rob, really, because I think that the narrative is going to be easy to write for those close to the club, that with the changes in the boardroom this week, the resignation of the club president and the bounce back from El Clasico, that this was a real clearing of the air for Barcelona, the beginning perhaps of an upward swing with a new era in the shape of Ronald Koeman and a new era off the pitch as well that will take shape over the weeks and months to come. If this was the start of something, it's a very promising start for Barcelona.
Very true indeed. Okay, and Mark Scott was watching Manchester United versus Leipzig. Mark, your three-word match report, please.
Rashford. Pretty self-explanatory. Three goals from him. And, well, the stats, you know, make for very interesting reading. Only the second Manchester United player to score a hat-trick as a substitute after, yes, you said it yourselves, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, four at Nottingham Forest in 1999. That wasn't a bad year for him, was it? 99 for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Yes, he was absolutely electric when he came on. It's actually, I found it hard to believe, it's his first senior hat-trick, which took me a bit by surprise. I would have assumed that he would have hit a treble by now because he's been such a good player since bursting onto the scene. But he and Bruno Fernandes made a big difference. Leipzig fell apart at times. Julian Nagelsmann will be disappointed with their lack of adventure going forwards and the way that they completely collapsed at the back. They really shot themselves in the foot defensively. But Manchester United building up a nice bit of momentum now, winning away at Paris and absolutely dismantling the early season Bundesliga leaders.
I'm trying to work out if your headline is clever or lazy. It's something, it feels like it's something in between. Okay, well, let's start with that one then. Group H, and to Old Trafford, where Manchester United host last season's semi-finalists, RB Leipzig.
Pogba surging through the centre of midfield, slips it through here for Greenwood. Beautiful goal. Mason Greenwood gives Manchester United the lead. Super move, started by Pogba. Through here for Marcus Rashford to chase. There's no flag. He's one-on-one with Galacci and scores. Marcus Rashford makes it 2-0. Oh, great goal. Marcus Rashford is at it again from out of nowhere. The substitute has made absolutely sure. And Rashford with a chance for the hat-trick, and he's taken it! Marcus Rashford at the treble for United.
Well, we heard Mark there, and he joins us now. Mark, I thought it was harsh. He didn't get the penalty, you know. I thought he was going to get that, and well, then suddenly Anthony Martial steps up.
It was interesting. Marcus Rashford didn't see it myself at the time, but I've since been told that he actually handed the ball to Anthony Martial and offered it to him. Bruno Fernandes also allowed the Frenchman to take it, perhaps an opportunity to just get another teammate on the score sheet. I do remember Marcus Rashford telling a similar tale about Romelu Lukaku being on a hat-trick once and handing the ball to Marcus Rashford to take a spot kick. So perhaps just passing on that kind of sort of comradeship towards some of his teammates in that situation. And as it turned out, Martial teed him up for the added on-time goal, which gave Rashford his hat-trick. So it came back round in the end. But I think perhaps that just shows exactly where he's at in terms of his football. He feels so confident and so full of belief that he could pass up the opportunity to get a personal milestone in order to ensure that one of his teammates found the back of the net as well. So just absolutely explosive. You know, the goals were so magnificently taken. Let's not underestimate the impact Bruno Fernandes had when he came off the bench as well. So while there were some raised eyebrows when we saw Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's lineup this evening with both Fernandes and Rashford beginning on the bench, it worked out perfectly for him, with Van der Beek making his first start in a United shirt in a four-man diamond midfield with Matic, Fred and Paul Pogba. Pogba was quite good in the first half. He looked up for it. He was sharp. He was, you know, very incisive when he was in possession. So all in all, with another strong defensive showing as well, with Aaron Wan-Bissaka keeping Angelino quiet when a lot was expected of the Manchester City loanee returning to the City in a Leipzig shirt. I think it's a job very well done to beat the early season Bundesliga leaders 5-0. The concern for Julian Nagelsmann will be the way that they sort of just fell apart, really, especially defensively. Upamecano, who arrived with so many plaudits coming his way, had a night to forget, as did Marcel Sabitzer, who came on from the bench to try and get Leipzig back into it, but gave away a penalty and gave up when Rashford ran away with him for one of his goals as well. So a bad day at the office for Leipzig, but a very promising sign for Manchester United.
OK, let's hear from the hat-trick hero who was brought on in the second half.
You know, I think the manager has told us when we come on, try and up the tempo. And of course, what it means going forward. And, you know, there was definitely spaces there. And, you know, today we managed to find the passes. We got Bruno on the ball, Paul on the ball, Anto running forward. And, you know, we look dangerous with that. We could score every time we go forward. You know, it was a real team performance. The ones that started the game done well when he was on the pitch, and the ones that come on done well when he came on. So I think, you know, as a squad, we can't really ask for much more than that in terms of, you know, attitude and intensity and intent to go and kill a game off. And, you know, today it worked in our favour.
Can't have happened too many times, substitute scoring hat-trick in the UEFA Champions League, Chris.
No, it hasn't, which is why I mentioned it at the top. It is extraordinary from Marcus Rashford that he did it, and he wasn't on the pitch for very long as well, as you mentioned. He's had an extraordinary few weeks, but he mentioned it there. I just wonder, you know, whether with what's happening at Manchester United at the moment, they will be pleased with the goals before Rashford came on as well. The fact that Paul Pogba got an assist, and the fact they've now beaten last season's beaten finalists away from home, and last season's beaten semi-finalists at Old Trafford. Pretty good.
Chris, I can let you know, actually, that Rashford is the fifth player to score a Champions League hat-trick as a substitute, and he's also the second youngest after who?
Now, that is a good question. Have you got the answer?
Kylian Mbappe.
There we go.
OK, very good indeed. Mark, look, in terms of Manchester United's... Well, yeah, they drew with Chelsea the weekend, but it's been a pretty good spell for them.
Yeah, they've built up a bit of momentum, haven't they? I think that's four games unbeaten now. You know, some have been asking questions about how they're doing domestically in the English Premier League because they're in the bottom half of the table. It's been a very strange season in England so far. I don't think you can really argue with winning away to Paris and absolutely smashing the team that got to the semi-finals last season, and also lead the Bundesliga ahead of the European champions Bayern as things stand at the moment. So Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will be very happy, and also I think it's showing the bravery that he has in terms of his team selection. I did the game at Newcastle United when he dropped a number of his first team regulars, Paul Pogba amongst them, shook his pack up, and they got the desired desired result there. He left Bruno Fernandes and Marcus Rashford on the bench to start off with this evening, but brought them on to devastating effect in the second half. So I think for him, this will be a very good passage of time in his coaching career at Manchester United, because he's getting results after making some bold calls.
A quick one, Mark. Did Leipzig just write this off as a bad day at the office?
I'd be very interested to hear what Julian Nagelsmann has to say. He was all dressed up for this in a very loud suit, but his team failed to make any noise on the pitch. Disappointing going forwards, really, really loose at the back as well. It was a bad day at the office, and I think he'll need to ask some questions, because I don't think this is the kind of thing that he can just brush under the carpet.
Mark, thank you. Elsewhere in the section, Paris Saint-Germain were looking for a much-needed 3 points in their travels as they faced Istanbul Başakşehir here earlier on in the day. John Bradley, watch this one.
Ball is delivered. Oh, it's a free header. It's Moise again as the corner comes in, and he's completely unmarked, 5 metres out, and he won't have a simpler header. Mbappe with the corner, Moise again with a header, and quite frankly, he couldn't miss. Mbappe tries to pull it down. Moise again on the turn. Beautiful finish. It's Moise again's night in Istanbul. He got the first with a header guided into the corner, the second with a beautiful turn and shot that gives Mert Günok no chance. It's 2 goals for Paris Saint-Germain. It's 3 points for Paris Saint-Germain. Istanbul Başakşehir 0, Paris Saint-Germain 2.
Not the prettiest, but a good win. And what a night for Moise Kean as well, to get a couple of goals in the Champions League. He scored a couple at the weekend.
Yeah, and you know, that is turning into a very astute piece of business. I think when people saw the signing very late after Choupo-Moting had made the move to Bayern, and you think of all the superstars at Paris Saint-Germain, Mbappe and Neymar, who came off injured and is going to have a scan, apparently. Fingers crossed there for Paris Saint-Germain fans, it's not too serious. You thought, well, you know, how much of a looking is Kean going to get? But he was good off the bench against Manchester United on match day one, and he took his 2 goals very, very well. A word, too, for Keylor Navas, who I thought on a couple of occasions came up with some very big saves. He's such a vital, vital part of that Paris team.
So Paris Saint-Germain with the win. Mark Scott, of course, covering the other game in this group with the win for Manchester United. United in a great position now, Mark, because they play Istanbul Başakşehir, have lost a couple, with a double header. And dare I say, I mean, there might be a bit of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer thinking, we could be through by match day four.
Well, he made it very clear in his pre-match media conference before the game against Leipzig that they wanted to get to 10 points as quickly as possible, because generally that'll be enough to ensure that you have safe passage through to the knockout stages of the Champions League. So I don't think you're wrong in terms of the way he'll be looking at this. And he may well feel that he has a strong enough squad based on what we've seen this evening to rest some of his first team regulars and give others a run out, and they could still get the job done. That said, it sounded as though Paris didn't have it all their own way earlier on in that game. So I don't think he'll take them lightly, but you're right, he'll certainly be looking at this as a chance to get the job done very early on, considering how tough a group it looked
exactly
when the draw was made.
Exactly.
4 days after match day six, by the way, Rob, it's the Manchester derby. So if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and United could be through, they might, when they head to Leipzig, you might see a very interesting side.
Cue a couple of defeats for United now to Istanbul Başakşehir here. OK, United top with 6 points. Paris Saint-Germain and Leipzig both have 3. Istanbul Başakşehir here looking for their first point in Champions League football. Let's switch things up to Group G now, and arguably the matchup of the night. Juventus versus Barcelona.
Coming in off the right-hand side on his left foot, strikes with the right, deflection and in! Adem Bele has struck for Barcelona in the 14th minute. Messi, Ansu Fati asking for it, gets it in the box, he's knocked over, penalty to Barcelona. This to seal 3 points for Barcelona. It's been a fine performance, and Messi crowns it with a penalty goal. So Szczesny went the wrong way. Messi helps it into the corner, and Barcelona have a 2-0 lead in added on time in Turin.
Commentator Richard Connolly joins Chris and myself now. Richard, what a night for Barcelona. Much needed and a deserved win.
Yeah, I mean, three without a win in the Spanish Liga, including, of course, the Clásico defeat at the weekend. The president resigns, turmoil off the pitch as well as on, early in Ronald Koeman's regime at Barcelona, and a significant game away to Juventus, who, yes, themselves have had questions, but don't lose much at home. Indeed, Barcelona had never won away to Juve before tonight, but really, right from the off, if there were doubts about Barcelona, the players expressed complete conviction, and they were terrific throughout, really. I mean, this had touches of vintage Barcelona about it, the way they moved the ball so swiftly, the understanding between players. Pjanic was excellent in midfield with Frenkie de Jong. Messi was buzzing everywhere. Griezmann was playing thoughtful passes. Dembele with quick feet caused problems from the off, and they'd left Ansu Fati on the bench, and he was perhaps their confidence finisher from the first part of the season. I mean, I counted four really clear chances in the first half. That does not include the goal, which came from range via a deflection from Ousmane Dembele. And after the break, the numbers were pretty similar as well. Juve, yes, will say they had three goals disallowed for offside from Alvaro Morata, but maybe in times gone by, the flag would have gone up a little bit sooner, and that might be slightly misleading. They won't complain, I don't think. Barcelona were really excellent. This could be a landmark result. I mean, it is a landmark result. The performance is what really points them in an upward direction.
Yeah, and it suggests that the Ronald Koeman project is on the right track. We mentioned it earlier. At this stage of the season, people make such sweeping statements about where everything is and a win and it's, you know, everything's fine, a defeat, everything is terrible. But I think this match was always going to be more than three group stage points. Given Andrea Pirlo and Ronald Koeman are new in the job, it was always going to be about the direction of the clubs and looking for positivity, if there is any, and equally, some of the criticism of Juventus domestically now has been seen on the European stage. And Ronald Koeman will be whistling and walking away from Turin very happy. But I think those questions that are beginning to emerge about Andrea Pirlo and Juve's direction will only grow louder and louder.
Barcelona top of the group with 6 points, Juve on three, Dinamo Kiev and Ferencváros both on one. And we'll come to their draw very shortly. There was something mildly frustrating at times about Barcelona for all the brilliance tonight, Richard, and that was perhaps overcomplication and indecisiveness when they were in goal-scoring positions in the penalty area.
Yeah, one led to the other, didn't it? I mean, it was the indecisiveness that brought about the overcomplication. I mean, there were a couple of times where it really beggared belief, where the chance had been created and yet the player concerned sought to play an extra pass, was simply overthinking. And when that voice is telling you to do something, it's because you're not in the zone in the moment, and that's because there are doubts and demons in your head. And I would point the finger in that regard at both Dembele and Griezmann, certainly, who had great chances in front of goal, sometimes missed them, sometimes looked for an extra pass. Even Messi didn't hit the target when you expected him to on a couple of occasions. Jordi Alba blazed one wide in the first half as well. We haven't mentioned the contribution of 17-year-old Pedri in this game, which is probably an omission on my part. He was really excellent for an hour, provided excellent defensive support as well as an ability to beat a man. And there were so many Barcelona players who could beat their man and did that. They were able to move the ball into more promising positions. You're right. They did not take advantage of those positions. Had they done so, I mean, this performance tonight, I think, was good enough to merit a four-goal victory away to Juventus. And had they done that, it would have been a real incredible statement.
You just feel like a football philistine, just in your head shouting, shoot!
Yeah,
but you really did want them to just shoot at times.
But you see this so often nowadays in 2020. I wonder if it's anything to do with a slight lack of confidence, or if this is the way football is right now. And call me old-fashioned, but I want them to shoot. And I wonder if the fact there are no fans today has any impact on that. Because there was a moment at the end when Ansu Fati passed the ball. He was in on goal, one-on-one with the goalkeeper. And why he didn't shoot, only him. Ronald Koeman looked furious, by the way. He's old school in that
he's
respect.
A pragmatist, isn't he? He's not telling them to play the extra pass here, and I wouldn't wager that he'll be into them on the training ground for more directness when you get into those promising positions, because some of the chances that they didn't even attempt to test the goalkeeper with, they won't show up in the stats at all, were extraordinary.
Poor old Alvaro Morata as well. 3 disallowed goals for offside tonight. Elsewhere in that group in Budapest, Chris, Ferencváros 2-2 with Dynamo Kiev, were 2-0 down to Gankov and Depeña with goals in the first half. The first of those a penalty. Then Topmak with an outrageously good hit into the far corner from inside the area. They scrambled in the 90th minute goal through Bolly. And a notable moment, really, for the head coach of Dynamo Kiev, of Ferencváros, I should say.
It looked weird, Rob, on the touchline that Sergei Rebrov, one of Dynamo Kiev's greatest forwards, was there managing against them. And Mircea Lucescu, who has had so many years and so much success at Shakhtar, Dynamo's great rivals, was in charge of the Kiev club. But for me, do you know what? That was the best moment of the night, that late equaliser, because at least 10,000-15,000 fans were there. That's what football is all about. A last-minute goal, great celebrations in the stands, and I think you mentioned it's their first home game for 25 years,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
To have supporters there, to have the atmosphere, and to pick up a really valuable point was brilliant.
OK, let's switch our attention now to Group E. Krasnodar 0, Chelsea 4. The Russian Premier League side hosting Champions League football for the first time in their history. And even Chelsea owner Roman Abramovich was in attendance for that one. Let's hear from the Chelsea boss Frank Lampard, who was pleased to avoided any slip-ups in Russia.
Playing away in the Champions League is always difficult. We have to respect the opposition today. And we scored 4 goals and we don't concede. And that's, you know, very good for us. It's another clean sheet, no goals against. And as the game grew and got longer, I think we had a period in the beginning of the second half where we had some pressure to take. That happens always away in the Champions League, but we played well.
Chelsea with a 4-0 win then against Krasnodar. And the variety of attacking talent that managed to get on the score sheet. Granted, there was an early penalty miss from Jorginho against the post. I wonder if Timo Werner will actually take the responsibility. But all of their attacking players getting involved in the goals.
Yeah, and they have so many of them. And fitting them all in is going to be a task
nice
in itself.
Problem.
Nice problem. And in a season which is condensed, you can guarantee that I'll be amazed if there are many ever-presence anywhere across Europe. So the bigger your squad, I think, the better chances you're going to have. First goal, real error from the goalkeeper. That opened up the game, right? And if that doesn't go in, who knows, maybe it's different. But I think in particular for Hakim Ziyech, who's had to wait for his chance to get on the score sheet, bodes very well. And as Frank Lampard said, no one ever doubts whether Chelsea will score, but keeping clean sheets and another good performance from their new goalkeeper, I think that will probably, even for Frank Lampard, be the most pleasing aspect of that 4-0 win.
3 clean sheets in a row for Chelsea. Timo Werner took over penalty duties from Jorginho in the second half after the Italian missed that kick that I mentioned. The German says he's happy to step up whenever called upon.
It depends on the game. I think not only because Jorginho missed the penalty, someone had a shoot, but I'm very happy that I scored today, that we win 4-0. And I think it's good for us because the last game was not like this. We don't win so easy, and it was good not for me and not only for me. It was good for the whole team.
Timo Werner having no problem getting amongst the goals. It had been an issue for Sevilla in the same section, and they did waste a bucket load of chances before Luke de Jong smashed in a volley coming up to the hour in the second half to win the game for Sevilla. And I love it when Luke de Jong scores, yeah. Chris, because, you know, there's lots of like, oh, he's not that level for Sevilla. Delivered in the Europa League, delivered at the Camp Nou recently, and that was a wonderful goal that he scored.
He's an old-fashioned centre-forward, and I think, I mentioned again, football in 2020, I think it's not necessarily the prettiest. I think sometimes people are unfair on him, but it was a brilliant goal. And from a striker playing in a team full of confidence, and look, Chelsea and Sevilla in Group E after only 2 games are sitting pretty. They were massive favourites to go through once the draw was made, but they're doing the business. And it's going to be very interesting to see Sevilla this season because we saw them in the Europa League again. And given the quality of teams they beat in that Final 8 tournament, I mean, that was Champions League-esque clubs that they beat. They'll be feeling already pretty confident now that they can reach the last 16.
Chelsea top of the group, 4 points. Sevilla on 4. Krasnodar and Rennes, both on 1 point in Group E. Now to Group F, Borussia Dortmund, well, they left it late. 12 minutes from time and Jadon Sancho scored a penalty after Thorgan Hazard was hauled down in the area. Haaland got the second late on, made by Jude Bellingham. Great moment for him, off the bench getting an assist. And in Belgium, Club Brugge 1, Lazio 1. Lazio missing, we think, 13 first-team players. They took 16, I think, out to Belgium for this one. Mignolet and Reina in goals, two former Liverpool goalkeepers. Lazio took the lead. Correa with a wonderful effort. Inside from the right, curled in a shot left-footed, and then Vanaken scored a penalty coming up to half-time. It would stay that one to the end, Chris. How do you think that group is shaping up at the moment?
Well, I think it's going to be very tight. That is definitely, given what you said there correctly, a much better point for Lazio than for Club Brugge. Zenit were hoping to be in the mix, I think. They're not out of it, but if you have Lazio and Club Brugge both on 4 points and Dortmund on three, I can honestly, I know it's early, I can see that one going to match day six. And Club Brugge have a real opportunity to reach the last 16 of the Champions League in this era. They are a club with a wonderful story in this competition. But in 2020 or 2021, the way football is, for a Belgium side to reach the last 16 would be some achievement.
OK, let's get the players of the night from our panel, starting with Mark Scott. I'd have a guess. Oh, Mark, Manchester United, God, Leipzig.
Such a tough one, isn't it? Luke Shaw.
Come on now.
Marcus
Come
Rashford,
on, Mark.
Of
okay.
course.
Richard Conley, watching Juve Barcelona. Give us your player and a bit of reasoning too.
Well, Lionel Messi's got too many of these awards, so I'm going to give it to Miralem Pjanic. Against his old club, a real message to Juventus about what they're going to be missing, and a real hint for Barcelona as to what he might provide. This was only his second start for his new club, and it was mighty impressive.
Chris, you get a player from any of the other six games tonight?
Moise Kean, both goals for Paris in their win in Istanbul.
Okay, good suggestions, gents. Thank you very much for your company this evening. A reminder of the match day two results. Group E, Krasnodar 0, Chelsea 4, Sevilla 1, Rennes 0. In Group F, Borussia Dortmund 2, Zenit 0, Club Brugge 1, Lazio 1. Group G, Juventus 0, Barcelona 2, Ferencvaros 2, Dinamo Kiev 2. And in Group H, Manchester United 5, RB Leipzig 0, Istanbul Başakşehir 0, Paris Saint-Germain 2. That's all we have time for this evening. We'll be back next Tuesday, the 3rd of November from 6:30 p.m. CET for live commentary of Lokomotiv Moskva versus Atletico, and then a crucial match for Real Madrid at home to Inter. So make sure you join us for that, and don't forget to download our podcast after every match night using your favorite podcast provider. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.